ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، الحمد لله. Tonight is the 11th of February in the year 2018. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 62nd night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the exalted companion, Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu. And I'm steadily going through the glorious battle of Yarmouk, and I spent the whole session last night discussing the critical fourth day of battle. And one of the points I mentioned was that in Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah's corps radiyallahu, Sayyidina Ikrimah radiyallahu, with 400 other noble souls, they had pledged for death and they never lost that position. But then I mentioned that they were all seriously injured. Darkness had fallen when Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu sat on the blood-splattered earth at the left edge of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah's sector radiyallahu anhu. On one knee rested the head of Sayyidina Ikrimah radiyallahu anhu, his cousin, nephew, and dear friend. On the other knee lay the head of Amr ibn Ikrimah radiyallahu anhu. Life was ebbing fast from the bodies of both father and son. So Khalid radiyallahu anhu, after the day's events had passed, he rushed to the sector and he saw Ikrimah and his son. And out of affection, he placed them on his thigh, and they were both obviously breathing the last few moments of their lives. In Tabri in Istarikh, volume 2, page 597, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 257-8 of the New English Translation, Saif, rahmatullah alayhi, he relates, Sayyidina Ikrimah radiyallahu was seriously injured and was visited by Sayyidina Khalid in the morning radiyallahu. He thereupon put Ikrimah's head on his thigh and the head of his son Amr upon his leg, and then rubbed his hand with love and affection over their faces. He then also dropped water into their mouths and then said, "Does the son of Hantama think that we do not get martyred? Does the son of Hantama think that we do not get martyred?" SubhanAllah. So let's look at this. So Sayyidina Ikrimah radiyallahu anhu and his son were breathing their last on the blessed thighs of Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu. And in love and affection, he put his hand over their face, wiping the dust off their blessed faces. And he dropped some water into their mouths. Then he made a statement. It was, "Does the son of Hantama think that we do not get martyred?" So who was he referring to? The son of Hantama was Sayyidina Umar. That was his mother's name, radiyallahu. And he goes, "We" refers to the Banu Makhzum, his tribe. So he was basically grieving and having a little kind of verbal against Amir al-Mu'mineen, as if he was saying that he thinks that we don't get martyred. But as you can see, he goes, two of the great ones are now almost leaving the world. So note, you can see he still had something in his heart against Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu. SubhanAllah, even at the moment of their martyrdoms, these pure souls taught the Ummah a most valuable lesson. So this narration you hear again and again, but many brothers and sisters have no idea what the context is. So I'm going to quote it, and then you'll realize now this is the context. In Abu Nu'im Ibn Asakir, Kanzul Umal, volume 5, page 310, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 547 of the New English Translation, Hakim it is Mustadrak, volume 3, page 242, Ibn Sa'ad in Istabaqat al-Istiyab, volume 3, page 150, relates similar. Sayyidina Habib ibn Abi Thabit radiyallahu anhu relates, Harith ibn Hisham, Ikrimah ibn Abu Jahl, and Ayash ibn Rabi'ah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu were all fatally wounded during the Battle of Yarmouk. When Harith ibn Hisham radiyallahu anhu asked for some water and was about to drink it, his nephew Ikrimah looked at him radiyallahu anhu. Harith thereupon said, "Give the water to my nephew, Ikrimah radiyallahu." When Ikrimah radiyallahu took the water, his uncle Ayash looked at him. Ikrimah radiyallahu anhu therefore requested that the water be given to Ayash radiyallahu anhu. However, before the water could reach Ayash radiyallahu anhu, he had passed away. And by the time the water reached the others, they had also passed away. Subhanallah. So this is a very famous narration. But you ask a brother, when did that happen? And then he goes, well, it doesn't really matter, does it, brother? This was at the end of the fourth day or the fifth morning of the Battle of Yarmouk. So let's now explain who these people are. Who is Harith ibn Hisham? Harith ibn Hisham was Abu Jahl's brother. Think about that. He was his... They had the same father. Abu Jahl was called Amr ibn Hisham. Harith ibn Hisham was his brother. So he was critically wounded in this battle. Ikrimah ibn Abu Jahl, of course, is his nephew. We mentioned, radiyallahu. And Ayash ibn Rabi'a, he was the brother of Abu Jahl and Harith ibn Hisham, but they had the same mother. So look how interesting. Two brothers, one through a father, one through a mother, you understand? And of course the nephew Ikrimah. And look how touching. When the water was given to Harith ibn Hisham, radiyallahu, Ikrimah looked. Don't forget, he was seriously wounded. He maybe thought he needed a drink. So he sacrificed his own. Imagine, he's dying. He's given to my nephew. So when the water was taken to Ikrimah, his uncle Ayash looked at him. So Ikrimah sacrificed his own comfort. He's given to my uncle. When he goes to his uncle, he's passed away. So the man with the water rushed back to Ikrimah, he's passed away. When he rushes back to Harith ibn Hisham, he's passed away. Radiyallahu ta'ala. So what does this tell you? Ikram al-Muslimin. You know, people bang on about it as if it's a point, you know. Ikram al-Muslimin. What's Ikram al-Muslimin, brother? Right? Ikram al-Muslimin is given your lives for your brothers. Can you think of a more exalted example than this? And Khalid bin Walid witnessed this. Radiyallahu. May we thus be sacrificed for the magnificent companions of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without whose amazing and untiring efforts, the glorious deen would never have reached us. So look how amazing. Even though it's the battle of Yarmouk, they're teaching you other things as well, not just fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is so important to highlight these points during this encounter. Thus was martyred Sayyidina Ikrimah, his uncle's and noble son, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, together with the other noble martyrs. The man who had for years been the most bloodthirsty enemy of Islam had now earned final redemption in martyrdom. Thus the greatest glory on the day of the lost eyes went undoubtedly to Sayyidina Ikrimah and his noble group. May Allah the Almighty be well pleased with all of them and forgive us all for their sake. Ameen. So Ikrimah radiyallahu anhu, when I was mentioning the early life of Khalid radiyallahu anhu, he was the one on the day of Uhud who was on the opposite side to attack the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the cavalry on the left. And of course, Khalid was on the right. Little did they know that Ikrimah would be martyred first with the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, the glimpses of Sayyidina Ikrimah radiyallahu anhu. The hadith is in Hakim in his Mustadrak, Sahih Hadith. He once had the Mus'haf with him. He was looking at scripture and he wept. And then he placed it on his eyes and he kissed it. He goes, these are the words of my Lord. These are the words of my Lord. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why was he weeping? Why did he kiss the Mus'haf? Because for all those years he'd fought against the Quran. So look at the transformation. And when he embraced Islam, his father was Abu Jahl. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told all the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he goes, do not speak ill of the dead, you will hurt the living. See another famous hadith. When did the Prophet say that? He goes, it doesn't matter, does it, brother? Right? That's when he said it. Why? Because the companions, they might have said something about Abu Jahl. He goes, look, he's here, the Firaun's son's here. Something of this nature. But the Prophet warned them, because don't speak ill of the dead, you will hurt the living. And when Ikrimah came, radiyallahu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, welcome to the muhajir. Welcome to the migrant, i.e. Ikrimah radiyallahu. And then Ikrimah radiyallahu, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the things that I have done and energy I have spent in fighting against you and the Muslims. I promise to put double the energy into fighting for the cause of Islam. And he certainly fulfilled his vow. And not forgetting when I was talking about the apostasy was, note he was put to guard Musaylimah and he wanted a crack. This shows that he was very eager to fight. So he made a mistake and Abu Bakr then told him to do a tour of duty. But now in the Battle of Yarmouk he was martyred radiallahu. So let's take a glimpse into the bravery of two other noble souls. Normally Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu would nominate a general as a duty officer for the night, whose task it would be to round the guards and the outposts and check the vigilance of the sentries. But on this night, the generals themselves were so tired that Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu, kind and considerate as ever, did not have the heart to ask any of them to carry out the onerous task. Although his own sword dripped with the blood of several Romans and his need for rest was no less than that of others, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu decided to act as duty officer himself. But subhanallah, he need not have worried. Everywhere he went, he found the other generals up and mounted, going about and talking to the sentries and the wounded. His dear brother, Sayyidina Zubair radiallahu, was also doing the rounds accompanied by his wife, Sayyidina Khawla, on horseback. So look how touchy. So obviously it's the fourth day has finished. They're all exhausted. Many people have been martyred. Many have got serious wounds, some light wounds. They've got duties to do. So Abu Ubaidah being the commander, he thought, he hasn't got the heart to tell others to do it. So he said, I'll do it. So as he's going around, he's thinking, everybody's still doing their duties. Amongst the greatest, Sayyidina Zubair radiallahu. With regards to taking a glimpse into the awesome bravery of Sayyidina Zubair radiallahu during this fateful encounter, the following narration will help to, you know, suffice. So obviously, who were the two greatest companions on the plain of Yarmouk? Abu Ubaidah and Sayyidina Zubair. So what did Zubair do in this encounter, radiallahu? In Sahih Bukhari, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 276 of the New English Translation, his son, Urwa, rahmatullah alayh, he narrates, during the Battle of Yarmouk, the companion said to Zubair, radiallahu, will you not lead an attack so that we may join you? Zubair replied, radiallahu, if I do lead the attack, you will certainly fail in your word. The companion said, no, you will not, because you spearhead the attack, we're behind you. Sayyidina Zubair radiallahu thereupon charged into the enemy so fiercely that he penetrated past their ranks without the support of anyone else. However, as he returned, the enemy grabbed the reins of his horse and inflicted two wounds on his shoulder on either side of the wound he had sustained during the Battle of Badr. With Sayyidina Zubair on that day was his son Abdullah ibn Zubair, who was roughly 10 years of age. Zubair had put Abdullah on a horse and left him in the care of one of the men. SubhanAllah. So let's look at this. So this is recorded in Sahih Bukhari. So it's very interesting. There are reports in the most authentic collection after the Quran, which mentioned Yarmouk. And here's one report. So this makes it very valuable. And who does it talk about? Zubair radiallahu. And simply put, it doesn't mention where he was. But some narratives mention he was in the court, he was in the battalion of Abu Ubaidah, meaning he was in Ikrimah's, where Ikrimah was martyred, the same battalion. And what did he do? It was a critical moment. Now you understand why they asked him. Because you take the charge, we're right behind you. Why? Because he was critical. So Zubair said to them, he goes, you won't be able to do it. Now who's he talking to? Companions. So there he goes, of course, we're right behind you. So when he thrust into the enemies, his charge was so fierce, the companions couldn't keep up with it. So the next minute, he's surrounded by Romans. 30,000. Imagine. The unbelievable thing is, he manages to find his way back. But he struck on his shoulder, and he had wounds there from the Battle of Badr. And the report says, he had brought his son, Abdullah ibn Zubair, to witness Yarmouk, who later became one of the great Amir al-Mu'mineen of this Ummah. So note, he was training his children as well. So Zubair did something extraordinary in this encounter. It is further related. In Al-Bidayah, volume 7, page 11, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 276 of the New English Translation, that the companions were amazed at his fierce fighting prowess and daring. Thereupon, apologetically, they requested the same thing a second time. He complied, and the whole scene played itself out again. So they goes, "Look, we're very sorry about that, O Abu Abdullah. But if you do it again, we're right behind you." So Zubair goes, "You're going to be behind?" He goes, "Yes." Same thing happened again. Launched into the Romans. He's amongst them again. Nowhere to be seen. And he manages to find his way out again. Imagine, out of 30,000 Romans. So no, Zubair was something else, radiyallahu. Hafiz ibn Kathir, he elucidated about this most noble man during the encounter at Yarmouk. In his Seerah, volume 4, page 487 of the English translation, Zubair participated, radiyallahu, with the greatest distinction of all at the Battle of Yarmouk. That day he twice pierced the ranks of the Roman forces from front to rear, emerging safely from the other side. However, he received two wounds on his back. So the way to describe it is, he not only launched into them, he went through them. And he found his way back twice. But he was wounded twice on his back. And Ibn Kathir says, this was the most amazing thing on the day of Yarmouk, what Zubair did, radiyallahu. What about the wounds of this noble man? With regards to the wounds on the sacred body of this most noble man, his son Urwa, he said, rahmatullah alayh, Hafiz Zahabi in his Seer 1-52, there were three holes as big as eyes on Zubair's chest, radiyallahu. Two he received on the day of Badr, and the third on the day of Yarmouk. So basically, there was three chunks of meat missing on his chest. Three huge scars, look like eyes. Now look how interesting. You'd think two of them should be at Yarmouk. Badr was only a small encounter. What does that tell you about Badr? The Quraysh went tuche, right? He was fighting his own family, and they managed to strike him twice. Romans got one in. So that tells you that the Quraysh, they're chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he goes, he had three huge wounds on his chest. So these are certain wounds he received. Urwa also said, rahmatullah alayh, in Sahih Bukhari, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 276 of the New English Translation, when I was a child, I used to put my fingers in the wound of my father's shoulder and play with it. Because he'd carry me, and I'd put my hand on his shoulder, he had wounds there. He said, I put my finger in his wounds, and he didn't mind. He had wounds on his shoulders as well, in Sahih Bukhari. Indeed, from the innumerous various campaigns that he had wholeheartedly participated in, his whole blessed body had literally become scarred. In Tabarani, Hakim in his Mustadrak, volume 3, page 360, Ibn Asakir, Abu Nu'im, Kanzul Umal, volume 5, page 7, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, volume 9, page 150, comments upon the chain of narrators. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 489 of the New English Translation. Hafs ibn Khalid, rahmatullah alayhi, relates, an old man from Mosul came and said he had accompanied Zubair ibn al-Awwam on a journey. So this old man goes, I had the honor of being on the journey with Zubair. He said, we were in an arid land when Zubair required a bath. He therefore told me to arrange for some privacy, which I did. They put some sort of cloth up so he could have his bath. As he was bathing, my gaze accidentally fell upon his body. And subhanAllah, I noticed his entire body was scarred by sword wounds. All his body. I thereupon said in amazement, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the scars I have seen upon you, I have never seen upon anybody else. He asked, did you really see them? Did you see them? I said, yes. He thereupon said, every wound that you see was sustained side by side with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the path of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So this old man, obviously, he's old at the time, he's remembering in his middle age, maybe he's helping Zubair have a bath. But look at Zubair, he didn't want people to know. This is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah ta'ala wanted us to know. That's the way to look at it. And imagine, he just cornered with his eye, he goes, hey, it's like his whole body's tattooed with scars. So he's shocked. He goes, I've never seen a man with so many wounds. What was the thing he said to him? Did you see it? Meaning, why did you look? Then he goes, yes. Then he had to tell him. He goes, every one of these wounds from swords in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar, such was the beautiful body of this most blessed man. So Zubair, he was doing extraordinary things. All the Sahaba have their narratives. You have to go through their lives to understand what sacrifices they made. But if you go through it, you'll end up forgetting who you're going through. But I wanted to mention this about Sayyidina Zubair radiallahu. Subhanallah, even those who had apostatized and then returned to the glorious faith performed amazing prodigies of valor. So for instance, in Ibn A'id in his Maghazi, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 740 of the Old English translation, Malik ibn Abdullah al-Khashabi, rahmatullah alayh, he relates, I did not see a more distinguished person than the one in the Battle of Yarmouk. I remember that a heavy and huge man from amongst the unbelievers came out to face that very person, who thereupon promptly killed him. In fury, another unbeliever came rushing out. He killed him in no time. Subhanallah, then eventually when the unbelievers were finally defeated, that very person also followed them in hot pursuit. Thereafter, he returned to his large tent and sent for huge dishes, and he thereupon invited the people around him to join him. When the narrator was asked to inform them about that person, he responded, it was no other than Amr ibn Ma'di Qarib. So let's look at this. So Amr ibn Ma'di Qarib, he was an apostate. He left the deen after the Prophet passed away. But alhamdulillah, he came back into the glorious deen. So you're thinking, I don't want to know about him. So before you write him off, what else can you do? Bole bale, right? He was in the Battle of Yarmouk. So straight away you think, that's enough, brother. But go and tell us what happened. If you don't know what Yarmouk is, then do what you want anything, right? So what did he do? So the narrator says, I've never seen a more distinguished person. Meaning, I saw him do amazing things. So they asked him, what did he do? He goes, a huge Roman came out. So you've seen the films. The old film Nation 9, right? You've seen the films, isn't it? Big Roman comes out, blonde hair, blue eyes. And he's challenging the Muslims, imagine. So what happened? Amr ibn Ma'di Qarib confronted him, Khuda Hafiz, took him out. So the man who's observing this, he goes, Subhanallah, how quickly he took him out. When that happened, another huge Goliath came out. Why? Because probably his mate, isn't it? Jim Buddy. So he comes out. So then the man's thinking, now what's going to happen? He goes, he takes him out, second Goliath. And he goes, he's basically taking them all out. And then he goes, when the Romans were retreating, he's going after them. And then he goes, after he's done that, he goes, I'm amazed at him. He comes back to his large tent. And then he goes, he invites people for meals. He goes, I've tell them all to come. I've got some special dishes prepared for them. Where is he getting the food from? So the people listening to this, they goes, who are you talking about? He goes, Amr ibn Ma'di Qarib. In other words, the one that you think who apostatized. This is what he did in his book. So note again, he wasn't just the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi, it was also apostates who came back to the faith. Indeed, such was Amr ibn Ma'di Qarib's worth that the following narration has reached us. In Tabarani, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 741 of the Old English translation, Muhammad ibn Sallam ibn al-Jahmi, rahmatullah alayhi, relates, Sayyidina Umar, radiyallahu, he once wrote to Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, radiyallahu, during the Battle of Qadisiyah, I have now assisted you with 2,000 men, O Sa'ad. One is Amr ibn Ma'di Qarib, and the other is Dulayha ibn Khuwaylid. Rahmatullah alayhi. So who's Dulayha? If you go back a few months, he was the false prophet. What's Umar saying now? So Sa'ad goes, I need reinforcements, Amir al-Mu'mineen, because I'm sending you 2,000 men. So Sa'ad thinks, Subhanallah, two men come. Right? So Sa'ad thinks, what? He goes, one of them is Amr ibn Ma'di Qarib, he's worth 1,000 men. The other is Dulayha. Two apostates came back. And look how touching. It is further related in Al-Isaba, volume 3, page 18, that both these respected gentlemen, rahimahumullah, were later martyred in the famous and most critical battle of Nahawand in 21 AH against the formidable Persians. Ultimate redemption for the two august and venerable souls. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon them both and forgive us all for their sake. Ameen. So these two great men were martyred in the battle of Nahawand, not Qadisiyah. Nahawand was another critical battle. Go and research it. Right? So note, great noble people were giving their lives for the cause. What have you done? That's the question to ask. We've just been given the deen. Imagine. And this is what you know is, these people certainly were chosen by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the amazing thing was, Allah ta'ala gives people second chances. They apostatized. You know, you would think, they saw the Prophet, they've left Islam, no chance Allah ta'ala is going to forgive them. Not only forgive them, imagine, gives them a station of a martyr. Right? So that's why we always, you know, think good of people. Even if they commit the most serious crimes, inshallah, who knows, maybe Allah ta'ala will give them a second chance. Who are we to judge people? You know, we might die without iman. Imagine. So note, Tulayha and Amr ibn Ma'd al-Karib, both great warriors. And the fact that they were martyred, what was happening at Nahawand, 21 AH. If you go through that battle, it was just like Yarmouk. Such a severe encounter. And for these two men to get martyred, tells you something serious was taking place there. But this was the great sacrifices of these most noble men. So all I mentioned today was basically a few of the great martyrs in the Battle of Yarmouk and also some of the other great personalities mentioned who were also later blessed with martyrdom. Sayyidina Zubair was also blessed with martyrdom during the Khalifah of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. And some of the great lessons we can take from the sacrifices of these great and noble souls. Are there any questions you have to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله